Today's message is called Biblical Preaching. Biblical Preaching. So it's a bit of a strange topic. I'm going to preach about preaching. So here at Coastline, we're praying for a pastor. Amen? And we want a man who is called of God. Someone who will take us forward and someone who will stand for the truth in these dangerous times. Someone who is not scared of what other pastors might say. And someone who will love us and care for us by ministering the truth to us. So please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, which was the first of the Bible drill verses. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away. They shall turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, help us now as we look into your word. I pray that, Lord, each one of us here is at different stages in our walk with you, Lord, and we all have different needs. But, Lord, we know that you can meet all of those needs today, Lord. I pray that we would have come here, Lord, with ears to hear and ready to listen in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would bless those that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we see the major characteristics of a sound preaching and teaching ministry. A sound preaching and teaching ministry is a major part of producing disciples of Jesus Christ and also disciplining the church. It is a major part of building godly homes and raising up youth who know and serve Christ. We need a pastor who will have an effectual preaching ministry to build up Coastline Baptist Church. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4 instructs us there are many necessary elements to an effectual preaching ministry. And we should be praying that God will send us a man who is capable of fulfilling these elements. We need a pastor who is conscious of the fact that he will give account to God. The call to preach is a solemn obligation that is laid upon him. Paul impressed Timothy in the most imposing manner possible of the seriousness of his calling. This is the main thing that will keep a preacher straight in his ministry, and that will give him courage to preach the hard things of the scriptures as well as the positive things. To preach the things that people like to hear and also the things that people don't like to hear. The preacher is the spokesman of Jesus Christ. We want a pastor who will not preach his own message. He must preach God's message. He's not to be proclaiming his own judgments. He is proclaiming the judgments of God. As he does this, he has God's authority. He is to preach the oracles of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul calls the scripture the oracles of God. The preacher must make sure that he is God's man with God's message. Then he must preach with all authority. So we want a pastor here at Coastline who's not going to make suggestions or share opinions or preach with apology, with hesitation or uncertainty. 2 Timothy chapter 4 plainly implies that a preacher can know the truth for certain and can therefore preach with conviction and authority. Timothy was instructed to study so that he could rightly divide the word of truth. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that passage of scripture is for all of us, not just the pastor or the preacher. Amen. Timothy would not have been so instructed if it were not possible to know for sure how to interpret Scripture properly. Christ promised that a man can know the truth if he continues in God's Word. And it is a promise. And John said that the believer has the Holy Spirit as his teacher, and that he can know all things. Amen. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Speaking with authority means the preacher must teach the people to respect God's word and God's messenger. So we as born-again believers must sit quietly and listen carefully. And praise the Lord, that's what everyone's doing here today. We must try to capture a message for our lives. We must turn off our mobile phones. We should not talk with our friends and family, and we must keep our children quiet. Amen? The preacher is not to preach his opinions or extra-biblical traditions or extra-biblical prophecies. He is to preach the Bible. The Bible is the God-called preacher's textbook. Amen? Timothy was instructed to preach the Word. Paul did not designate which part of it, because he was referring to the whole Bible. The preacher has no authority to pick and choose what he will preach and what he will not preach. Billy Graham once said that he was only responsible to preach the gospel. But this is not true. Every preacher is responsible to preach the word. And those who narrow their message for the sake of a broader fellowship and a wider ministry will give an account to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant. Biblical preaching is instant. The preaching must be active, aggressive, confrontational, unyielding. The Greek word epistemi is translated as assault in Acts chapter 17 and verse 5, and come unto in Acts chapter 12 verse 7, and stand by in Acts chapter 22 and verse 20. It means stand up to it. It is used for the Jewish leaders' confrontation with Jesus. In Luke chapter 20 verse 1, said they come upon him, and then the arrest of the disciples. In Acts chapter 4 verse 1 says they come upon them. Likewise, the preacher has to confront the people with God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Biblical preaching is to preach in season and out of season. And this refers to the preaching when the preaching is popular as well as when it is unpopular. It refers to preaching when people have gathered for the express purpose of hearing the word of God, and preaching when the people are not so gathered. Paul preached in church meetings, and he also preached in the marketplaces. It refers to preaching when it is safe, preaching when it is dangerous, preaching in times of peace and in times of persecution. Paul preached when he was free, and he preached when he was bound. It refers to preaching to every sort of men, to the poor, who are often more responsive to God's word, but also to the rich, who commonly don't receive God's word as readily. The Bible commands us to preach the gospel to every creature. It refers to preaching when there is obvious fruit and preaching when nothing appears to be happening. We could say that it appears there's nothing seems to be happening at Coastline at the moment. But it doesn't mean to say we're supposed to stop preaching, amen? It refers to preaching in times of encouragement and preaching in times of discouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word and be instant and in season, out of season, reprove. Biblical preaching is to reprove. And this is from the Greek word eleko, which means admonish, also translated as convict in John chapter 8 and verse 9, and convince in John chapter 8 verse 46, or tell a fault in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. It means to show people their false ways and to convince them of the right way of God's word. And this is a difficult task because human nature does not like to be told that it is wrong. The natural response to reproof is to become offended and to justify oneself and to lash out at the reprover. Giving reproof implies a responsibility on the part of the preacher to make judgments based on God's word about the condition of the people to whom he's preaching. Today, though, the popular cry is, "Judge not." But those words in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 are taken out of context and made to mean that it is not God's will to judge sin and doctrine. But in Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 through to 5, Christ was warning against hypocritical judgment. He was not saying that the believer cannot judge anything. Elsewhere we are told that the believer is to judge sin and doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, the preacher is commanded to judge things that are wrong and to reprove and rebuke them. In doing so, he is not exercising his own judgment, he is exercising God's judgment. Reproof involves proving. It means to bring to proof. The preacher must know God, the word of God, well enough so that he can prove to them that are listening, so they know what he is saying is true. He disproves error and proves the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke. Biblical preaching is to rebuke. This is the Greek word epitamo. Please forgive me if I'm pronouncing those words wrong. Which means to tax upon or to censure or to forbid. It's also translated charge in Luke chapter 9 verse 21. It means to tell people that they are wrong, to rebuke them for being in the wrong, to charge them before God that they are wrong and that they are obliged or obligated to turn from their error. It is to call people to repentance from sin and error. Rebuking is very difficult, but every preacher is obligated to do it and will give account to God if he shuns it. Rebuke of sin and error requires courage that can only come from God. The fear of God must outweigh the fear of man, and the love of God and man must outweigh the love of self. Rebuke is contrary to humanistic psychology, which seeks to build self-esteem and avoids anything degrading of self-esteem. The very popular Robert Schuller said that Christianity must cease to be negative, or cease to be a negative religion, and must become positive. He said that it is damaging to call people sinners. He said that I have no right to ever preach a sermon or write an article that would offend the self-respect and violate the self-dignity of a listener or reader. Rebuke is contrary to new evangelicalism, which avoids the negatives and focuses on the positive. And rebuke is contrary to the judge-not philosophy of modern secular society. Rebuke is also contrary to feminism. It's amazing how dramatically feminist thinking has permeated society and even influenced Bible-believing churches. A masculine approach is not wanted. Strong discipline is not understood, or is it appreciated. The female way is not the way of rebuke and chastening, but the way of finding a more gentle way of discipline. Why rebuke, she thinks, when you can deal with things in a softer way? But rebuke is what God's word calls for. The feminization of the church has resulted in a softening of the preaching and the militant stance of the church. God is a man of war, but very few preachers are. We need a pastor who is, amen? Christ took on the Pharisees and Sadducees, and Paul took on every heretic that raised his head, but such zeal is foreign to most so-called preachers. This type of boldness is exceedingly rare amongst fundamental Baptists. The protest has long gone out of the Protestants, and the fundamentalism has largely gone out of the fundamentalists. Whether we like it or not, the preacher's job is to preach the Word of God without compromise and without narrowing down and softening the message. To be effective, rebuke has to be plain and forthright. All of the preachers of the Bible were plain spoken. Paul even said, "We use great plainness of speech." Bible preachers condemned sin plainly and they rebuked error unhesitatingly. Let's take a look at Jesus' message to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. So if you would like to turn with me there, please, to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13, and we'll see how Jesus preached to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. It's a fairly long scripture. We're going to look at 13 through to 33. So Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13 to 33. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Wow. Pretty stern stuff, eh? Jesus didn't soften the blow at all. he let them have it. Fundamentalists in general and fundamental Baptist churches in particular, the preaching is growing softer and weaker with every passing decade. This is something that we do not want to happen here at Coastline Baptist Church. Amen? So there are still exceptions, but the Bible-believing church that has a bold, uncompromising preaching ministry is no longer the rule. So 70 years ago, this happened to the Southern Baptists and the Evangelicals. And today, it is happening to the Independent Baptists and the Fundamental Baptist churches. Preachers are toning down the message to fit the growing mood of compromise and worldliness. They are bending to the will of the people. The people have unconsciously adopted the "don't be so negative" philosophy. They don't want to hear preaching against rock music and television and wicked video games and immodest dress or anything else they love. They don't like it when the preacher warns them about popular but compromised Christian leaders. Instead of educating and warning about such things, many preachers have backed off. It is very rare in today's churches to hear a rebuke of worldly music, lukewarmness, worldly dating with its moral temptations, the modest and unisex dress, worldly entertainment, unfaithfulness to the services and to prayer meetings and other godly responsibilities. At the very time when the culture of the day is getting ever more filthy, preachers are toning down their warnings. It may not be popular, but plain rebuke is necessary because we are sinners, even after we are saved. And there are fierce enemies that perpetually seek to turn us from the truth and from righteousness. To warn people of the things that are wrong and to call them to turn from such things is an act of Christian love. Christ said in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." The Bible says that parents that don't discipline their children don't love them. And this is the same and is true for church leaders. When a preacher seeks to fulfill his obligation in the love of Christ, he is often labelled unloving and pharisaical. But that is a slander. It is to misunderstand the nature of biblical preaching and the importance of correction. For a preacher to reprove and rebuke in Christ's love is godlike rather than Satan-like. 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort." Biblical preaching is to exhort. There's another Greek word coming out that I probably can't pronounce properly, but anyway, here we go. This is from the Greek word parakaleo, which means to call near, to invite, to implore or console. It is also translated beseech, comfort or entreat. It means to plead and encourage and invite people to come to the truth, to call them to the truth. So the preacher must therefore reprove and rebuke plainly. And so sound preaching is a spirit-led mixture of these elements and is not composed of only one or the other. The biblical exhorter and reprover will not turn a blind eye to sin, unfaithfulness and lukewarmness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering." Biblical preaching is to preach with all long-suffering. The preacher must be patient toward the people like God is patient. The preacher is to have a patient and persevering spirit when he is opposed and when his preaching is not immediately heeded. Preaching and long-suffering is a matter of preaching with compassion for the people. He is to care for the sheep. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, and he is to speak in truth and love, and that's we find that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25. But this does not mean that the preacher is to be endlessly patient, for Christ himself is not endlessly patient. In Christ's messages to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Christ called the churches to repentance and warned some of them of dire consequences if they did not repent. So the preacher that we're praying for must be wise enough to know when it is time to be patient and when it is time to rebuke and when it is time to discipline. And only the Spirit of God can give this wisdom, and he gives it in answer to prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Biblical preaching is to preach with doctrine. So the preacher must be a teacher. Preaching must not be composed merely of exhortation and reproof. It must be full of sound doctrine. It must build up people in the faith. Amen? It must educate us so that we become effectual Bible students. We must be taught to rightly interpret the scriptures, and we must be shown the why of obedience as well as the way of obedience. And we must be given a solid foundation for obedience, which is the doctrine of God's word. We see the example of this in the New Testament epistles such as Ephesians. In Ephesians, the first three chapters consist of doctrine, while the last three chapters consist of exhortation and reproof. Preaching with doctrine is an essential aspect of sound preaching, and this should flow from the preacher's study life. The preacher who is a serious student, not only of the Bible but in life in general, will have a rich preaching and teaching ministry. He is ever learning new things that enrich his ministry, making it more effectual and more interesting. And this should be the same for ourselves. Amen? Preaching with doctrine requires expository preaching, so that the Lord's people learn to understand the Bible as a whole and how that each book fits into the whole. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Biblical preaching protects us from apostasy. These verses of dealing with apostasy are connected with the previous verses about preaching. It is biblical preaching with its doctrine, exhortation, reproof and rebuke that can protect us as a church from end time apostasy. No matter how dark the time, God has given the churches everything they need to stand. Amen? Biblical preaching is rejected by compromisers and apostates as judgmentalism and Phariseeism. But biblical preaching can stem the tide of apostasy in the lives of those who receive it. I know this is a bit of a strange topic, preaching about the right kind of preaching. But what we have covered today is information on what type of preaching is biblical. What type of preaching Coastline Baptist Church will preach, and ultimately the pastor that we are praying for, that God would send us a man who could do all these things and not to be afraid of to preach the whole counsel of God. We want God to send us a strong man who will not bend to compromise, someone who will warn us of the dangers in the world and of the dangers in Christendom. But at the same time, someone who will love us as Christ loves the church. We also need to pray that God will send us more godly men and families. Amen? Men who are good leaders in the home. Men who are godly leaders in the church. If we look around here today, there are plenty of women. And praise the Lord for godly women. But we are seriously lacking godly men here at Coastline. Amen?
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. And Lord, we thank you, Lord.